Hi, this is Tim Ebrook, President of Hologix. I'm very proud to present the first in a series of podcasts that we will be releasing over the coming months. This one, entitled Life on the Cutting Edge, Where Oncology is Taking Us, is presented by my colleagues Drew Cutler and Michael Galvin. Both Drew and Michael have been conducting innovative market research in oncology on behalf of our clients and are at the forefront of new therapies and developments. I'm constantly in awe of their level of expertise, and I think you will be too.
Tim, thank you very much for that kind introduction. Hi, everybody. I'm Drew Cutler. I'm a vice president at the company, and I'm here with my colleague, Michael Galvin. Michael, do you want to say hello?
Sure, I'll say hello. Hello. I am also a vice president at Hologix.
And we are here to provide a short discussion about what we are seeing in oncology. I think the thing that we should talk about initially, Michael, is what kinds of developments have occurred in the past 20 years or so in the field of oncology. Obviously, there's been a lot of exciting developments which keep both of us interested and on our toes in terms of understanding the rapidly changing landscape in oncology. What have you noticed, Michael, in terms of developments over the past 20 years that you've been in this field?
Well, so I'd say that there are three major thrusts in the oncology landscape over the time that both you and I have been working in this field. The first of which is looking at targeted therapy, moving away from what oncologists like to call the shotgun approach of chemotherapy towards a more targeted approach, looking at molecular targets on cancer cells or within cancer cells and finding ways to target those particular cells and leave healthy cells alone. The second would be immunotherapy, which is using the body's own immune system to fight cancer. And the third trend is really combining these first two, in my opinion, and that's the trend towards personalized medicine, towards looking at the molecular signature of a given person's cancer and figuring out accurate and effective ways to treat that cancer with a relative minimum of side effects and of useless therapies. So, Drew, why don't you talk a little bit about targeted therapies, since we've both worked in that field, but I think you have probably a little bit more experience in that than I do.
Mm-hmm. Happy to do that, Michael. So, yes, as Michael mentioned, we're seeing over time less and less of a shotgun kind of approach and more of a specific targeting of what is at the root or driving the cancer in a specific individual. And what this reduction in the shotgun approach means is that more and more clinicians are able to target exactly what is at the root of, or at least a major component of, the individual's cancer, and the patient doesn't have to suffer the side effects that they would with the less targeted therapies that were prevalent 10 and even more 20 years ago, stretching back, as Michael mentioned, to chemotherapy. So now there are new targeted agents that target very specifically the genetic alterations, the fusions or the mutations in the cancer tissue that are leading to the production of what are called tyrosine kinases, for example. These are enzymes that activate proteins and lead to what's called angiogenesis, which is the formation of new blood vessels that play a major role in the growth of the tumors. These newer agents can target just the specific genetic alterations that are driving a specific cancer. And we'll talk a little bit later about what this means in terms of new ways of looking at treatment. In the past, treatment was very focused or siloed by the specific type of cancer. So you had treatments for lung cancer, you had treatments for breast cancer, but increasingly the trend is towards understanding what the driver is rather than lumping all breast cancer patients together or all lung cancer patients together. And as a result, the treatments that are being developed are, in general, and this is not always the case, but the newer treatments tend to be more effective. They lead to greater rates of survival. And in addition, often these newer therapies, because they're not shotguns, they're not producing nearly the side effects that the old style, the old-fashioned treatments are known to produce. So this is, to me, this is very exciting to see the trends that are recently emerging in oncology in the use of targeted therapy.
And as you know, the classic example of finding a targeted therapy that can turn off a cancer is one of the first examples of a successful targeted therapy. That's going back to the 1990s with the emergence of imatinib or Gleevec.
Yes.
That targets the driver mutation, the so-called Philadelphia chromosome that drives chronic myeloid leukemia, to the point where CML, before Gleevec, was a disease where the expected survival was about 5 years, and now we don't even know what the expected survival is with Gleevec, that more than 80% of patients in the initial Gleevec trials, now 20 years out, are still around and still on therapy. We don't know what the median survival is yet in chronic myeloid leukemia.
That's so true. And Gleevec, indeed, was one of the first targeted agents that really kind of broke the door down to lead to a focus on targeted therapies and a really a sea change in how cancer was looked at and what the types of therapies were that were developed. I should add, by the way, that tyrosine kinases can have a very useful role. They're not always something that are bad. By no means is that the case. It's just when they get stuck, if you will, in the on position, that cancer then proliferates. So in those cases, you want to have something that inhibits these tyrosine kinases, these enzymes, and that's where TKIs enter into the picture. As Michael mentioned, I've done perhaps some more work in targeted therapy than he has. Conversely, Michael has done more work in immunotherapy than I have. So I'm going to turn the floor over to Michael, who will, I hope, talk a little bit about immunotherapy and what he has seen in terms of trends in immunotherapy in the past 20 years or so.
So I first started working on immunotherapy, cancer immunotherapy, about a decade and a half ago with one of the very first successful immunotherapies in a project that I think ultimately made my career in market research. At that time, there was a great deal of interest in immunotherapy. There is a longstanding theory that one of the contributing factors to the development of cancers is that the body somehow loses the ability to recognize cancers as foreign or as not self, and that the development of cancer is in some sense a failure of immune surveillance. There were tantalizing clues that some cancers were immune responsive. It was known that a certain portion of melanomas, a skin cancer, could spontaneously resolve after they had developed, and that was thought to be due to the immune system, but nothing had worked at that point. And in the intervening 15 years, we've now seen a number of approaches that have really transformed our understanding of cancer and the therapy of cancer. It started in melanoma, which was known to be an immune-susceptible cancer, and there have been a couple of broad approaches that have been developed for the treatment of melanoma using the immune system. One of them is simply to turn off a switch that downregulates T cells, immune cells. And so if you can block this switch, so to speak, CTLA-4, you can make T cells much more active. This was an effective approach in some cases, was kind of a scattershot approach, and scientists working in this field discovered that there are other ways to work on the immune system as well. Another approach that's since been found is to block PD-1 or block PD-L1. Cancer cells are thought to secrete a ligand called PD-L1 that essentially blocks immune cells from recognizing the cancers as foreign. And so if you can turn this signal off, the immune cells can then recognize the cancer as foreign, and the body's own immune system can fight cancer. And we've seen that the use of these checkpoint inhibitors, as they're called, has revolutionized the field of melanoma as well as many other cancers. Melanoma, when I first started working in market research, was always one of the three or four cancers that doctors would tell me they hate to treat. And it's really no longer the case, where even with metastatic stage 4 melanoma, which is traditionally thought to be incurable, you can get durable responses in a pretty significant percentage of patients these days. And the hope is that number will continue to improve as the immune tools have been refined and improved. But one of the interesting things that's happened in the last several years is that the immunotherapy approach has expanded beyond the tumors that were traditionally thought to be most immune responsive, such as melanoma or kidney cancer, and have moved on to other areas, lung cancer being the most well-known one for anybody that's seen an Opdivo or Keytruda ad on the television. And the immune therapies now play an increasingly important role in the therapy of advanced non-small cell lung cancer. And the hope is that with continued research and continued understanding, growth and understanding of the immune system, this will continue to be one of the key tools that oncologists have in their efforts to help patients with cancer. A couple of other very promising immunological approaches that are worth mentioning include what are called CAR T cells, which are engineered T cells, whether it's the body's own T cells or an off-the-shelf T cell, that are designed to recognize certain receptors and targets on cells. They've been used primarily so far in liquid tumors and hematologic malignancies. So far, they've shown very promising, really remarkable responses in later lines of therapy in both acute leukemias and certain kinds of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I think to summarize what both of us have been talking about so far, Drew, I think it's worth talking a little bit about the idea of personalized medicine in general, because this is an idea that involves both targeted therapy and immunotherapy, to some extent maybe also chemotherapy, and the hope is to find a signature of each patient's cancer in which they can be treated with the most effective and least toxic approaches that are most suitable to the way their cancers behave.
Exactly, Michael. It's really becoming the opposite of one-size-fits-all medicine, which really kind of dominated or has dominated medicine for so long. In particular in oncology, although you're seeing this in other areas of medicine as well, as Michael mentioned, it's really becoming a focus on what, for you specifically, is driving the cancer. And if you can determine that, if the test that you receive can identify what's at the root of your particular cancer, for example, what genetic alteration is responsible for the growth of the cancer, you are likely to receive a treatment that's going to be effective and increasingly better tolerated than the treatments of yore, which were, again, one-size-fits-all kind of shotgun approaches. And this is, Michael, you had mentioned correctly that in the past there were certain types of cancer that even clinicians themselves hated to treat because the results were so disappointing. What we're seeing, at least from the physicians that we're talking to or that I'm talking to, is a genuine excitement about the possibilities that the newer approaches, whether it's targeted therapy or immunotherapy or other cutting-edge approaches, the possibilities that these more personalized approaches offer for the patients and thereby for the clinicians as well to be seen with almost a heroic kind of role in helping these patients to live much longer and more productive lives than even just 10 or 15 years ago they had any hope of achieving. So we're in a very exciting era of oncology, And I'm I feel very lucky to be part of it. I don't know if you share my sentiment or not, Michael.
Well, I certainly do share your sentiment that it's a very exciting time for oncologists, certainly. There are tools available and medicines available that they have and approaches available that certainly were unheard of when both you and I started in this field. And certainly one of the things that I hear a lot from oncologists, and I know you do as well, is the idea that we would like to cure as many patients as we possibly can. And if we can't do that, we'd at least like to turn cancer into a chronic disease, something that can be managed in the long term. And I think in some cases, that's a goal that is nearer than in other cases. There are still plenty of cancers where, unfortunately, despite the best efforts of physicians and of researchers and of pharmaceutical companies, progress has not been as much as we'd like.
Michael and I would like to thank you very much for listening. And if you'd like to learn more, please visit our website. It's www.healogix.com. That's HEALOGIX.com. Or you can call Healogix at 215-830-8360. Thanks again for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.